There, on this stone, I had peace, there I was not tormented. But what kind of life is that, I thought, if I always have to be on this stone? I tried again and again, went to the bank, and soon found that I was able to move in a certain circle without pain, without discomfort. It didn't go any further, so I was satisfied with that. But I saw people passing by this stream whom I had also known in life. I called out to them, but they didn't hear my voice. So I stayed. Then suddenly this colorful, beautiful figure came to me again and said, "Get up, your father is coming." So I was supposed to fetch my father. Now I stood there, ashamed. I couldn't look my father in the eye. But my father didn't look very happy either. They reproached him for me and explained to him, "You allowed this, such a life. You knew what was right and wrong and you never rebelled against injustice, you tolerated it. So now you must remain banished with your former biological son." And without much word they accompanied the father to the same place, to this stone. I, now I am speaking again as Jacob, had to stay with my son at this place to which we were bound. I had time to think. But we only reproached each other, we argued. Then it got to the point where we avoided each other. We no longer remained together on the same stone, for I had also discovered that the place that was to be our home did indeed encompass a certain area. So I sat down at another end and thought about life. But my son was full of bitterness, reproached me, shouted at me and said, "You had it in your power to raise me differently. I must now atone for the sins you have committed. It is your fault, you could have raised me differently." So the reproaches went back and forth. I defended myself and told him that he himself knew what was right and wrong and that I was even afraid of him and that was why I had never said anything. I did not know how long we were spellbound. I was no longer interested in that either, because time stands still. I then began to ask God to forgive me and to make my path easier. I promised him that I would take on a difficult task, just so that he would make my path easier. For a long, long time, no one had heard me. Then, all of a sudden, they came, these beautiful, distinguished figures. They led us both away and said, "You are now freed and redeemed from this spell. But that does not mean that you have made everything right. Now school begins. You must now be taught about the laws of the divine state." So we were taught something about paying attention to others, about benevolence, about understanding, about the willingness to make sacrifices. We were also told, "You were Christians, so where is the Christian spirit in you?" So we had to be taught, we were led to schools and taught. We received instructions from very strict angelic beings. After a certain time, we were tested to see whether we still knew what they had explained to us, so we had to repeat it. It was a hard school, but it was fair. We felt very good because we no longer had this pressure, we were no longer so bound. We now experienced seriousness, but despite this seriousness in which we were taught, we were allowed to experience something of heavenly love. We also had to be taught about it. We had to overcome the coldness in our innermost being. But through these teachings that we received, we could not awaken in love, because these angels of God led us with great severity. So we were not only taught by them, but angels of love came to us. They also told us about the plan of salvation and order, but they did it in a completely different form. Yes, one of the angels always carried a brush with him and he had the opportunity to make drawings of the plan of salvation and redemption, and generally of events in the spiritual world and of events among people. He drew it for us, and I enjoyed his drawing and later his painting. I said to him, "Just guide my hand, I wanted to be happy to have such a loving hand over mine, to really feel that we were being taken care of and that we, who have done so much wrong, were being guided in love by these magnificent beings." And so I asked, "Just guide my hand." And my request was not refused. Yes, with smiles and great joy, they took my hand and made such drawings. I let what he did happen in silence. I was just happy to be so close to such a magnificent being. And then I learned something about love. So I, as well as my son, was taught something about love and understanding. It is not enough, in the spiritual world, just as it is not enough with people, to just talk about how one should do, and how one should be, but one must experience it with others, how it should be. And so we were allowed to experience it, we who were taught so strictly by others. But we had long since given up our will, we wanted to change, we wanted to be better. I promised again and again, I will definitely, when, if I am back as a human, definitely be a better person. And the dear, beautiful angel said to me, don't promise anything, don't promise anything, but learn now. Be attentive and take our love, our warmth into your innermost being so that it is not lost. And I said, something like that can never be lost, something like that can never be forgotten. And the love angel answered, oh yes, unfortunately it is forgotten far too quickly, even by people. People also receive love and prove themselves unworthy of it and are ungrateful, they too soon forget what they have received from this or that person. I believed that this would not happen to me, that it would never be lost to me. My son and I were together in this development, in this purification. The lessons from these loving angels were the most beautiful thing we have ever experienced. I also recommended to my son that he let an angel guide his hand so that he could paint too. But he did not enjoy it as much as I did, but he let it happen. Well, this instruction lasted for a certain time, then the angels of love stayed away and we went from one school to another until we were told, now we want to give you another opportunity, enter earthly life together and prove that you want to make amends and prove that you have been taught by the spiritual world. It was made clear to the son that he would not be able to live as a healthy person, because his transgressions were far too great. He would suddenly be burdened with a great, heavy burden, because otherwise he would have far too long to bear it. It was explained to him, you must give up many things, you must endure a life of suffering, but it should not be too long. And so it happened. I came into the new earthly life, and the tasks were the, and the hard life. And so love and everything that had been taught was forgotten. You had to work hard, others did too, but nevertheless the love that I had received should have penetrated. It didn't penetrate because it was overshadowed by unpleasant things. As a human being, I shouldn't know what a burden I was carrying with me. As a human being, I shouldn't know either that a love angel had once guided my hand and made the most beautiful drawings with me. People shouldn't know anything like that. They have to find the right path on their own. And so I had endured this life, then returned again and realized, it was revealed to me, what I had done wrong, that I had not given this love and that I now had to go on a path of purification again. It was no longer as difficult as the previous one, because my son came to my aid. He said, Father, I will accompany you through the purification, and he went through the hardship with me. He, who had become free, gave me love and attention and made the difficult times easier for me. So I slowly, slowly rose, while my son then separated from me. Then I was able to start this work that had given me so much joy. I was able to paint, I was able to sculpt. I cannot describe in detail what has happened since that purification up to the present day. At first I indicated that I am so happy with my life now. I was also given the explanation that through my desire to let this angel of love guide my hand and through him guiding the pencil or brush in my hand, a talent was encouraged and developed in me that had lain dormant during the time of human life. These talents were only to be expressed again in the spiritual realm, and only when the purification was over, so to speak. Only after that time could one devote oneself to this beautiful and satisfying work. So I met this angel of love again. He greeted me and offered to give me lessons. I then experienced his wonderful love and his attention again. I was happy to see this angel of love again. The fact that I recognized him was possible because the past was brought before my mind's eye again. The higher you can ascend and have ascended, the clearer it becomes. Suddenly memories come back, you remember, you know, you experienced it. You could even say the colors of the clothes that those angelic beings were wearing at that time. The memory becomes so vivid in you without the image of the past being brought before your eyes. In this way, you experience the past again in your mind, and you also recognize your former teachers, your former helpers and friends. It is a wonderful thing when you have all the hardships behind you and are able to do work in the kingdom of God that gives you joy. You have only one wish, one desire, to stay in the kingdom of God as long as possible and not to have to be born as a human being again. For so much is said about the difficult tasks, the difficult temptations that people in every age have to bear. That is why you shy away from it or are afraid of it, because you know that you are not strong enough in all things and that you could fall back again, and you are so reluctant to give up your beautiful home, your beautiful work. On the other hand, it is proclaimed that it is necessary to prepare yourself to show the way to the weak people who live on earth, to go to them strengthened and to guide the weak as strong brothers and sisters. We are told that the angels of God are ready to guide these people, who are of good will and who are just, and to always strengthen them so that they remain faithful in their faith and remain faithful on their path. This is explained and told, and we know that some return to the spiritual world having achieved a lot. They are cheered and praised, and there is great joy about their achievements. But we also know that some come and are sad, and the angels who receive them are as well. They are disappointed in them because they have not achieved what they expected of them in life. They are disappointed, and they have to forego the beautiful things that would otherwise have awaited them in the spiritual world. They have to purify themselves again, their soul has to become free again. It has to be surrounded by a spiritual light again. The individual has to become full of love and full devotion to everything again. It is not easy. Some come as winners and others as losers. And no one knows whether he, if he has to return to earth, will be a winner or as a loser. That is why most beings are so afraid. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you about my journey. I have told you about myself, but I have also told you about my son, in his place, about the journey that we had to take together. But you should not get the impression that you already had your current children in a previous life. Rather, the divine world decides who goes where, to whom. One time it may be true, another time it may not. The divine world also decides about the place where someone is banished. For one person it may be that he never sees his former village or town again because he is bound far away from it, and another is led close to his village or even to his house, and he has to stay in the house where he committed crimes or atrocities. He is banished there and has to wait there for his release. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you. If you have any questions, I ask you to address them to our brother. I would like to say goodbye to you with the best wishes and with the blessing that God gives you. God bless you. Joseph, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, I am ready to answer a few more questions as best as I can. Dear Joseph, a minor question from me. But I noticed that this Jacob has a soft voice, more like a woman. Joseph, that has to do with the transmission. And furthermore, not every being has the same way of expressing himself. Yes, thank you, dear friend. Is it a very common form of purification that, as we have now heard, one is bound to places here, even in nature? Joseph, it happens very often, but whether it happens as often as you think, I cannot say. Yes, thank you. Dear friend Joseph, it seems to me that the purification that these two had to go through in the spiritual world was actually not very hard, compared to the life they had led, especially the son. Joseph, you must not assume that everything has been explained to you in detail, you are only told in broad strokes. If someone is tied to a certain place in the spiritual realm, then it is a very stressful life. Imagine, you are always tied to the same place, you cannot do anything, you cannot talk to others or only to a few people. That is very difficult. Not being able to move, not being able to work, not being able to do anything and always being in the same area, so to speak, that is not easy. And then the person in question still struggles and is deeply unhappy. This may not seem so difficult to you now, But if you imagine that you would have to stay in the same place or in the same room for an indefinite period of time and that you would have no other conversation than perhaps one person, then you will realize that it is not so easy. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Jacob and questions answered by spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Next case. December 6, 1961, Carolina, purification after an egotistical life. How a soul bound to material things is confronted with its life on earth in the afterlife and must reacquire spiritual virtues. Controlling Spirit. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, in this hour an ascending spirit will speak to you again. The stories should always be instructive for you, and we choose beings whose explanations come closer to you and your life. So we ask you to listen carefully. God bless you. Carolina. God bless you. My name is Carolina. I lived a very egotistical life on earth. I remained unmarried. I had a brother, and the brother had several children. He was always sick, he had lung disease. I had another sister, she was also married, she was doing reasonably good. Well, I treated myself to a lot, since I earned enough. Yes, I treated myself to everything I could, or anything that was possible. But I lived for myself and didn't think about helping my brother and giving the children anything, no. I thought, I earn it myself. And later they will take possession of my money anyway. My other sister gave the little she could give to her brother. When I was alive, I had been made aware that my sister gave something to her sick brother and the children now and then, to make me realize that it was up to me to give something too. Well, today I can't understand why I never gave anything. I have been given the task of giving you these explanations, of telling you about my last life and of describing to you the consequences of such a life. It happens so often that people live selfishly and have nothing left for their relatives, not for their brother, not for their sister. I now felt and heard the consequences of this in the other world. During my lifetime I did not think that life would continue after death. I believed it was over. I was brought up religiously, but later I could not do anything with religion. With faith in general, I could not believe. And then the time came when I was to leave this world and enter the spirit world. My eyes widened, I saw my mother, but I could not talk to her. I saw that she was very, very sad. She only made signs with her hands, but I thought I understood her. She expressed her displeasure that I had not lived a life pleasing to God and that she had suffered greatly in the spiritual realm because of it. Then I saw not only my mother, but also such venerable beings standing before me. I immediately recognized that they were not willing to speak to me in a pleasant tone. They spoke to me, I still remember it well, they said, "Yes, you have now entered the afterlife. Everyone comes here, everyone, no matter how they lived, will stand before us and will have to give us an account of what they have done with their lives. And so we demand an account of you too. We demand that you tell us what you have done with your life and where your deeds are, the achievements of your life, we would like to see these. But we want to give you time to think about it, you can answer us a little later. We will then call you again, we will then talk to you." I was afraid. I looked for my achievements. Yes, I had achievements to show for myself, but it was quite clear to me that those achievements didn't count in this world now. I thought it was very nice that I was given time to think, and I studied back to my childhood what I could say, what good things I had done. And this and that came to mind, which I thought could count and be of importance. I had also given something sometimes, I had also put in a good word here and there, well, but I felt so uneasy at that time. They wanted to get me. I would have preferred if they had spoken to me immediately and I wouldn't have had to be afraid at that point. I didn't know what to do with the time I had, because my mother was no longer there and I didn't see any of my other acquaintances anymore. Everyone who was there was a stranger, and the surroundings were just as strange to me. I didn't dare go anywhere, because I saw now, I am abandoned. If no one accompanies me, if no one introduces me somewhere, then I am a stranger. I didn't dare go into a house, So I had no choice but to go to the fields, the forests, the meadows, so I just stayed there. I slept, I was tired, and I rested a little. Then suddenly I came to, and one of these venerable beings was standing in front of me again. Then I thought, oh, I hope it will be over quickly. They led me into a house. This house looked very well kept, very elegant. But then I saw, in the room into which I was led stood the same beings who were in front of me at the beginning and who were now asking about my achievements that I was supposed to have accomplished in my earthly life. Hesitantly I told them what I had thought of saying. And then they answered me, "That doesn't count. We don't want to know. It's unimportant." What did I want to say? I simply didn't know anything. And yet I felt, I didn't live as such a bad person, I wasn't that bad, I wasn't like that. I didn't know what to say. I felt as if I had lost all thoughts, as if I couldn't think, nothing came to mind. Then they said to me, "You, when you were interested in people, you tested their abilities. You asked them what they could do, and you sent them away straight away if they didn't do what you expected. You didn't exchange many words with them, you sent them away straight away. We here also ask about their abilities, but with us, people don't work for money, we're not interested in money. The goods you had on earth don't interest us at all here, but what the soul's wealth is and how it came to be rich is what we are interested in." And then I didn't know what to say. I think I was just so frightened and I couldn't say anything else except, "Be a little lenient with me, nothing comes to mind, I'm so afraid, I don't think I've lived as such a bad person." They didn't change their expression, they were very strict, and they looked at me. I only dared to look at them now and then, because I thought I might see some kindness or some gentleness in their faces, but nothing like that. Icy severity and hardness radiated from their faces, and that made me even more afraid. I think I was definitely trembling in front of them. Then they said to me, "We want to help you," and asked me, "Why didn't you ever give anything to your brother and his children? You wouldn't have even felt the loss. Why didn't you give anything?" I didn't know the answer to that. I didn't answer. I just bowed my head even further down, because I was ashamed. Yes, now I asked myself, why didn't I really give anything? They said to me, "Have you taken with you even a single thing of what you had hung your body and soul on? You have nothing of it, you had to leave everything behind. So you live for this fleeting splendor, you could take nothing, absolutely nothing with you. Your brother and his children could have used some of it, and you gave nothing. Your sister, who had nothing of what you had, gave from what little she had. She gave, we will reward her for that, and you gave nothing." And then they asked, "Where was your faith? Why didn't you believe in God? Why couldn't you believe?" So they talked to me. And I asked myself too, why couldn't I believe? Now it was too late. Yes, now it was clear to me, in this world, there was no more denial. But why couldn't I believe in God in this human world? Why was faith so foreign to me? Yes, that's what I thought. They continued to talk to me and said, "You couldn't believe, you wanted to see God, but you didn't see him, you didn't hear him, and you couldn't understand him. And yet you heard him every day, you saw him every day, but you couldn't see him with your earthly eyes, and you didn't see him with your spiritual eyes either. Your earthly ears heard nothing about him, and yet the call that goes out into the world is so loud, the voice is so loud, and it is made so clear to people that there is a God in whom one can believe. His power is explained to people so clearly that they should believe in it, but you didn't believe anything, you didn't hear anything." They continued to ask, "How often did you hear the church bells ringing?" And I was supposed to answer them. I answered, "I don't know, but there were many times." "Yes, many times," they said. "One spoke once and then the other, many times the bells rang." They continued to inquire, "Then who were the churches built for?" "For who?" "For God, of course." "Yes, for God." "And for whom did the bells ring?" I was so afraid, I was shaking, I couldn't give an answer. I thought, I'd rather not give an answer than an awkward one. They told me, because they saw what I was thinking. Yes, churches are built to honor God, so that people can go there and gather in prayer and pray and sing in honor of God. That is the purpose of churches on earth. They are built to honor God, and the bells ring to honor God. They also ring sometimes in sad times and warn people, warn them. Because for some people the bells are rung on their last journey. You have never thought about who the bell rings for, who the church stands for. If the bell rings on their last journey, where is that person going? You have never thought about that. The bells also proclaim joy, and you have never thought that God also grants joy to people. The bells have rung in many different ways, on different occasions. But the bells were raised to honor the Lord, in His Spirit, in His honor. So, whose spirit was it first to build churches in God's honor, to raise and ring bells, to call people to prayer, to remind them in storm and joy that God has power over everything? It is the sound of a bell that goes unheard by many people. Because they do not hear God's call, they do not think, why are the bells ringing? It would have been a sign to turn around and change their lives. You were also willing to celebrate the Christian holidays with other people. But you never thought about why people were celebrating. You never inquired about the messages that were given in the various churches. Number you were mute and deaf. You heard nothing, you saw nothing, you only wanted the business, only greater profit. And now, of all that you had put together, everything has vanished. For us, in our kingdom, it is all insignificant. Here, money is not used to pay, nor is it used with people's gold. Nothing can be bought with people's splendor here in this new home. You never heard the warning voice, and yet you experienced many joys, and nature brought you wonderful things. You never saw the glory of God in it, never, but never. Why are Christians called to keep Sunday holy? You did not keep it holy. Have you never thought about where this admonition could come from that Sunday should be kept holy, that one day of the week should be dedicated to God, and why on this one day in particular the bells ring more frequently, even though they were raised to honor the Lord? You have never heard such words, you have understood nothing of this other language, for you have not prayed the prayer in which one says, Your kingdom come to us. Otherwise it would have become clearer to you what is meant by this kingdom that is to come. For the kingdom that is to come to mankind is certainly not the kingdom in which mankind lives, the kingdom of sin. The kingdom of materialism in which you lived and worked, is not the kingdom of God. But you have also not thought about the prayer that comes through the mouths of Christians, the Lord's Prayer. You did not ask who it came from. And you never thought that one should think back and hold on to the one who first said it and who taught the others. No, you had no mind for such things. You did not inquire about the other kingdom, and so this other kingdom remained mute for you, mute and invisible. You could not see anything, you did not want to see anything, you turned away from God, you turned away from your brother, your heart was full of hardness and coldness. And what do you think we should do with such beings here in this new world? You have now come into the new world, into the spirit kingdom, which everyone will enter. What should we do with you? What do you think we should do with people like you who come here? So they spoke to me. I did not know what to answer, and thought, do what you want. But I only want one thing, to get away from you. I didn't want to hear these accusations anymore, as they did. Because I had to say, yes, I have heard nothing as a human being, and it came so close to my ears every day. No, I have heard nothing and I have seen nothing, and now they asked, what should we do, what should they do with me? I didn't know, but I thought, I am definitely not the only one, I am definitely not the last to come into this world in this way. But it was clear to me, here it wasn't so easy. Here you couldn't just say anything. No, here you could immediately feel the power of God. And I said, I am a poor sinner, I kneel before you as a poor sinner, and I ask for mercy. Yes, mercy, they said, you must earn it, this mercy. Now you will go where the others are led, who have lived in the same way as you. Yes, it was now as I thought, that I had not been the only one. And then someone asked me to come with him. I did not look to the right or to the left, I was not interested in what was around me, I just wanted to get away from these venerable beings. But one person stayed by my side. I remembered now, during my lifetime, people spoke of purgatory. Now I knew, I am going to purgatory.